Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, Mark German.
Afternoon, my brother. How are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm fine. Can't complain. How about you?
No, lovely man. Cannot complain at all. We're doing good, and the Lord is good also on our side. Now, we're talking about, VOP lesson, and the title of this lesson is Everything Designed Has a Designer. And, of course, the design of the human body demands the existence of a supreme designer, especially when we ponder everything involved in the function of the human brain, which is where our lesson is today. Now, please take us through today's lesson summary, Mark.
All right. The design of the human body, as put it, demands the existence of a design. We do not exist. We do not just form. Somebody took time and gave it a thought, how should I create someone, and how should I create that somebody? And so, indeed, there is a designer for everything. And for our human body, we have a God as our designer. And should we honestly sit and think about the human machinery, how it functions and how it lives, you'll be convinced that this designer is a special designer. And as you put it, if we were to ponder the function of the human brain, which according to this,
Mark, can you hear? Oh my goodness!
In each cell is going to do 10,000 cells. Which means we have around 1 billion, 1 trillion plus connections in our brain. And all this, in some sense, is telling us who we are and explains what we are responsible for. And so when you look at the human brain, for example, you'll find that we have the cerebellum, as well as the medulla oblongata, and all those parts of the brain have their different functions. But all in all, they are there responsible for who we are, what we do, what we think, and what we do. For example, the cerebellum itself is responsible for thoughts such as reasoning, planning, emotions, problem solving, and perceptions. We are able to reason, to decide. We are able to, make decisions through the presence of that part in the brain, which we call cerebrum. And also we have the cerebellum, which works to maintain the balance of the muscle tone, the gait, and in short, the brain is the system that controls the human machinery. When it comes to the respiratory system, reproduction, the nervous system, digestion, the blood flow, all this is controlled by the brain. It is for reasons such as this that the psalmist in verse number 14 says we indeed have to praise God, for we are fearfully and are wonderfully made. And so the human machinery, the brain itself, is an evidence that there is a God, which is not just for us as people put it. You understand? So when we take a look at how amazingly the human machinery functions, we can be convinced that the one who designed it is so skillful and full of knowledge, full of wisdom, intelligence. And this special designer is none other than God himself.
Special designer is none. I love that sentence, last one. None other than God himself. Now, how do our bodies point to the existence of this designer? Because you're saying that it's none other than God. But how does it point to God? How do we determine, how do we come to this conclusion that it definitely must be God?
All right. The verse that it best explains that our human machinery was designed by God is Genesis 1, verse 26 and 27, where the Bible said, "And God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowls of the air and over the cattle and over all creeping things that creepeth upon the earth. And the Lord God made man in his image, and he made the male and the female. And that verse alone describes that there is someone who took time, like I said earlier, that God took time. He designed it. He had it to sit, because the way he let us make man suggests that God had to sit and plan. How do I make this man? Okay, I will make them in my likeness. He will also form them according to our image. Meaning to say, God is the greatest designer. And this verse defies what the scientists and other world intelligent wise men say. You know, they believe we came from monkeys, and some said, okay, we evolved from a maggot or something like that. Then we started being transformed into one form to another. But the Bible is clear that it is God who took time, who sat and thought the Godhead had to plan and say, okay, we want to create a man. How will he function? How will he appear? And all that was designed by God himself. You know, my friend, the world has had designers. And the wise men of this world have made, a number of threading machines. And we have made, for example, the artificial intelligence that is controlling our planet at the moment. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to God, he is the greatest designer. Mm-hmm. Because he created the human machinery, which if we would humble ourselves to think and ponder how the machinery itself functions, we can easily conclude that indeed this God must be worshipped, and he is indeed the creator. We do not just for, unfortunately, the intelligent people in the world, the wise men, the scientists, spend all their time explaining that, okay, we came from this or that or that, but God is the greatest designer. And the first man and woman could not just have happened. The Bible affirms that, like we read, that God designed us in his image. He's the great engineering intelligence who designed us and brought us into being. And he is the one who controls us. Not controls us, but he is the one who guides us. Because the Bible says, in him we move and live and have our being.
Our being.
Surely.
Beautiful stuff, man. Now, you put this to God squarely. Do you think that he had a specific intention behind the design of a human being? Was there an intention?
To all intents and purposes, when we study the Bible, the scripture in whole, in general, we learn that God created man for his own glory. And so God had a purpose, and he had the reason for designing the whole human machinery in a way that we function. You know, God did not create us as machines. We have the sun, the moon, the stars. The sun rises, then it sets in the evening. The sun has never disobeyed God. You know why? Because God did not give them the mind, the freedom of choice. They are there like machines. They just function the way they were designed. And but contrary to that, as humans, we were designed in a special way that we should have that likeness with our maker. We should have the mind. We should exercise thinking capacity. We should also be able to make decisions. And when it comes to that part, we can 100% be convinced that God created us for his own glory.
So, because I see that he's put intelligence, he's put the blood vessels that work in a particular way. I mean, the brain already has got its own cells, billions of them, etc., in place. All of this just only for the praising of the Lord?
Yes, exactly. Because when you look at the verse we read, Genesis 1, verse 26 and 27, the Bible is clear. The Bible says, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. In other words, God designed the human machinery so that we can function like he functions. And like I said, if we would honestly sit and study the human machinery as we do in schools and other places, there is no reason why one can stand and say there is no God. Atheism would never be there, because the human machinery on its own is something to call or invite our attentions to a God who is loving, a God who is just, and a God who is willing that all of us should live like himself.
Beautiful, man. And ultimately, after all the design that we are given as humanity, I mean, I'm looking at the hairs that a human has, you know, the movement of the fingers, the movement of the body, etc., etc. Mm-hmm. It's all in the praise of the Lord, which was perhaps distracted by the entrance of sin, as it were. Does this praise of God as he intended able to continue? Is it continuing?
Pardon, I did not get you the last part you said.
I'm saying God created us, you know, with all the functionality that the body has in a human in a human body. But you and you said that he did all of this for his praise. This is before the entrance of sin. Is
exactly.
This praise still happening after the entrance of sin?
Unfortunately, we abuse the machinery. By the way, there is a verse, 1 Corinthians 10:31, which says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever thing you do, do it all unto God's glory. And God expects us that we take care of this machinery. We use it, we should study it and understand how he functions. And having done that, we'll come to a place where we can live in harmony with him. And so sin did not just mar the character of God, but it is also brought that nature where human beings do not regard this machinery as something with which to praise God. That's why David, after some years after the entrance of sin, sat and started the human machinery, the life of humanity, and came to a conclusion, indeed, we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and that should invite us to praise the Lord. And so, due to the entrance of sin, the existence of sin in the world, it is so unfortunate that we do not praise God as we had or we have to. But God invites us that in this foreign nature, we have to do everything to his glory. We have to try to make sure that we do not hurt our bodies, because at the same time, our bodies are, you know, the indwelling place of the Most High God. And so, yes, after sin, these bodies, this human machinery, is failing to live up to the standards of God. However, God is trying kindly to invite us to live that life that had to be lived before the world got contaminated by sin.
Well, I must thank you, my brother Mark. I think we're going to be speaking again tomorrow at the same time and same place. But for today, I want to thank you so much for coming through.
Welcome.
Thank you so much.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.